You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW for Public Radio. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Fred Mills and Jeff Eason. What perfect time to pick to talk about hauntings and spirits and goblins and things in music. No, seriously, we're talking today about some of the stories of music being recorded in haunted places and such. For example, the Paramore Mansion in Silver Lake, California, 22,000-foot Mediterranean-style country villa and estate that was built originally in 1923. It is a recording studio, among other things, and many, many bands that have been there have been completely spooked out, like My Chemical Romance having night terrors there, and Papa Roach, who had recorded a 2006 disc there, and having things like the power go out every time they came to a certain chorus, and people having the water turn on by itself, and just basically being completely weirded out by the place.
Rock and roll and ghost stories seem to be a good mix, you know, especially when you have drugs and alcohol abuse into the mix. But seriously, there have been a lot of interesting stories over the years. The most recent one that I've heard, and I'd heard about the Paramore Mansion, Mars Volta, on their latest album, they were, prior to recording it, one of the guys suddenly felt this urge, like these voices in his head telling him to take a trip to Israel. So he goes over there in one of these street bazaars. He's getting knickknacks to take back, and he finds this kind of this ancient or primitive-looking Ouija board type of deal. So he takes that back, and it becomes a favorite on the tour that they were engaged in. They would play with the Ouija board after shows, and the board started creating these weird commands and everything. And say what you will about Ouija boards, they were really into it. And it as the way they tell the story, it started demanding a new host body. And then when they started getting into the new album, strange things happened. They were recounting when they were doing a playback of a guitar solo they had just recorded, and they knew it recorded because they watched it on the monitor thing, the computer. But then when they played it back, it was as if it was completely wiped off. Other things happened. Equipment started turning up missing. The recording engineer had a nervous breakdown. And finally, it just got so weird, according to them, that the guy hopped a plane, took the Ouija board off to some desert and buried it, didn't tell anybody where it was. And so the album became kind of the story about that. I guess, you know, ghost stories go all the way back to Elvis days. I mean, there's supposed to be
Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson. There's supposed to be a building off of Nashville's Music Row, which had some of the RCA recording studios that Elvis recorded Heartbreak Hotel. And later RCA moved the studio to another place, and they said that every time Elvis's name was mentioned over the years, strange things would happen, like a light would blow out or a ladder would fall or there'd be some weird noise. You know, sometimes you just want to believe that stuff, and other times you question, well, you know, maybe they just had a few too nips of the bottle that night.
I know. I think I come from the Harry Houdini school of skepticism when it comes to ghosts and such, although I've heard you say that this building is haunted.
Yes, and a lot of people that are here, especially in the wee hours of the morning on overnight, will come unprompted and start asking about what was that sound or what was this and what was that. And what typically seems to be the MO is that there are flashes. You'll see flashes of light. So if you're in this control room, there will be a flash of light behind you that is inexplicable. There are also strange sounds, and I've pulled many, many, many overnights here, and I've heard the sounds. I haven't gone as far to witness any of these other instances that have been cited very recently by the likes of Laura Blackley, who asked one morning about seeing a wheelchair move in the hall.
Some people might actually, in all respect to them, might be just more tuned in. I think Laura, on her album Liquid Courage, she's got this great song called Helen's Bridge, and it's about a bridge right near Bowcatcher Tunnel up on Town Mountain, where a woman reportedly hanged herself. And if you go up there, spend the night or something, you'll see her ghost and everything. So maybe Laura, just like I said, is kind of tuned into these kind of things.
I think musicians are a little bit more in tune to those sort of things, and it's a good thing because it has, you know, helped them produce some of the best music of their careers, and even the wacky stuff like Welcome to My Nightmare by Alice Cooper. You know, anytime that somebody explores the macabre and uses their imagination in that sort of way, whether the ghosts are real or the figments of their imagination, it'll help us, the listener.
Well, there's this great story about Alice Cooper and Joe Perry from Aerosmith were collaborating on this project in this studio that was in a house or a mansion or something. Now, coincidentally, they'd both just recently gotten out of rehab. And so as the story goes, the first night they hear some furniture moving around, and then they start comparing notes, and Joe says, "Yeah, I keep putting my jacket down over on this chair, and then I come back later and it's gone." And after a couple of days of this, you know, hearing the noises and everything, those guys got out of there, and I'm sure they went and started drinking heavily.
What do you think? Do you have any stories of the paranormal in music or otherwise? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Jeff Eason and Fred Mills. Until next time.